Split Ends is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
It's time for this week's episode of the Split Ends Podcast.
What up, Splitches? Welcome to the Split Ends Podcast. Divisional round, baby. Oof. Colleen Wolf, Erica Tamposi, producer Aaron, all hanging out for the pod. Coming up, one of the great football minds covering the NFL, our buddy from Around the NFL podcast, Greg Rosenthal. We're going to take him through a headline check that includes a pyrotechnic miscalculation, some dreams and nightmares, and dessert. Plus our pop divisional round previews. Oh, did I nail it? We got it all. But first, before we get into all of that, Erica, tough weekend for us. Eagles were embarrassed. The Bills, well, they whooped up on the Patriots. How you doing? How you feeling?
You know, I was good. It was a comical game. I was like, at that point, it was just nice to sit on the couch and sort of watch my playoff dreams, just sort of fizzle away. But no, I mean, the Patriots did not deserve to be there. The Bills completely steamrolled them. I think I coined the term. I didn't invent this term, but they like pistol whipped the Patriots. So I even texted Aaron and I was like, hey, congrats.
She made it up, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, you can coin me with this word. So yeah, the Eagles lost. That sucked. But what really sucked, Colleen, was watching, and not for you, not for me, because I loved watching the clip of the Eagles guy screaming go birds in your ear loud. Over
That's
the
great.
Time. But how are you feeling? Can you hear okay?
My ear is still on IR. That's okay. The Eagles fans, they're very loud. I am related to a majority of Eagles fans. So I understand what happened. I should have known what was coming when I asked for an Eagles chant / go birds. Willie was basically my security. We didn't have any security, which we normally do. And so they just like popped up a tent in front of the stadium and had us sit outside. And so people were just like coming by, shotgunning beers. Like,
oh my God.
It was a little chaotic. It was fun though. I mean, we had a blast. There was like 30-mile-an-hour winds. So that was cool. But luckily it was in the right direction. So it was sort of like a Beyonce fan, which I loved. But it was a wild day, starting with the man that screamed in my ear. But then there was an argument on my flight home. There were two guys that were like yelling at each other. And one guy said that the other guy assaulted him in his seat. So I was like very worried that we were going to get diverted. I just wanted to go home. You know,
oh
like,
my gosh.
I had to watch the tragedy of the Eagles lose to the Bucks. It was way worse than I thought it was going to be. And then it also became comical. Because,
were you near that fight or was it back, you know, not up?
Oh, no,
first
it was
class?
In the same row. It was in the same row as me. I don't know what was happening, but American Airlines usually has these things totally under control and nothing ever goes wrong.
Get your stuff together, AA. Yeah, it was a tough weekend, so I'm sorry that you had to go through that, but we both did, so I guess in solidarity, it was great. It was Jet's birthday, and we went axe throwing, Colleen, which was super fun and actually harder, actually harder than it looks. Because it's like a 2
tomatoes, pound. Boo!
Yeah, it was horrible. It's really tough. But I was thinking, I was like, I would love to see you do that because the axe was like the size of you. And so I just don't know. I'm just picturing you throw it. It was giving me a little bit of enjoyment here.
Wait, I'm like very accident prone. I've actually thought about this before.
Accident prone?
Oh, Jesus. I've thought about going axe throwing before, but you've seen me throw corn. And there have been times where I've managed to hit myself with my own bag because my release point is just not great. So axe throwing feels like a dangerous activity for me to do. I'm going to stay away.
Yeah, it was really fun. I think you'd be okay with it. But yeah, there was that element of danger. So we had a good time. And it definitely like let me blow off some steam from that massive Pats loss that really hurt. But Colleen, before we get to Greg, you were on the Pat McAfee show this morning.
I was. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, I'd never miss you in a halftime show. But actually, I have a clip that I want to play for you. And just, I want to ask you
something. This is my worst nightmare. This is my worst nightmare. What is this?
It's like, hey, if you're in the spotlight, you kind of got to take the heat and know it's coming. And also, like, why are you so upset about this? I say disrespectful things all the time.
Okay, so you said if you're in the hot seat in the spotlight, you gotta expect that it's coming. So you're a pro, you should expect that this is coming right now. Did you plug our show this morning?
You know, it didn't come up. It there wasn't a spot for me to promote anything. And I also started the show by stumbling out of the gate. So it was just not a good time for me. Wasn't a good time for me.
Right. I mean, you could have been like, oh, yeah, you know, especially when you're in more of a free-flowing atmosphere. Me and my buddy Erica, we have this podcast, Split Ends, and we talk about this all the time, and we got to walk stuff back that we say, and luckily it's edited. So, you know, just a few notes from me going forward.
Oh, awesome.
So,
good. You have notes. Great.
Yeah, so maybe next time.
I was hoping you would have notes.
Maybe next time. You know, it's just something you could work in. I think that'd be
great. This the show for me behind the scenes started off on the wrong foot because I sat and got my computer all set up and my shot perfect, and then when they FaceTimed me, it wouldn't come through on my computer. It was only coming through on my phone, and then my AirPods wouldn't connect to my phone, and then I was trying to like balance my phone on my computer, and Dasher, my dog, was trying to climb into my lap because he doesn't like the sound of the FaceTime.
Thor doesn't either, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He really hates Slack, like the notifications, and there's a new commercial. And we have to mute it. It's so sad. And he starts like trembling. I don't know. He must have been like in some corporate environment in his last life because it's very triggering for him. But regardless of that, we survived. I'm happy about that. Not all the teams survived. Our teams didn't. But wildcard weekend, it is over. It's in the past. Our next guest also survived the weekend. He's a staple on NFL Network. You might know him from Around the NFL podcast, or you know, one of his 17 other podcasts, or maybe from the musical stylings of his high school rock band, Delaware. Greg Rosenthal joins the show. Welcome, welcome. Rosie, how excited are you to be here on a scale of 1 to 10?
10, because you're the only person almost left in my life that calls me Rosie. Other than like my best friend, Dave. Gonzo,
really?
Of course, does. Yeah. In college, they only knew me as Rosie. I had a short-lived girlfriend that actually thought that was my name.
She didn't know your first name was Greg, right?
For 3 or 4 weeks or something like that. And I was like, no, Rosenthal is the last name. You know, these things happen.
She thought your first name was Rosie?
Because that's all, and by then it was like late sophomore year, and there were lots of people that only knew me as Rosie. The word Greg never popped up, and so she just, yeah, that's what she thought.
But like, don't you think that'd be like first date sort of conversation? Like, so are you named after your mom, or like, where does Rosie come from? Just that never came up.
Well, these are like New Orleans relationships that, you know, may start around, you know, 10 p.m. out at the bars and whatnot. You know, it's not exactly a date culture, I would say.
Dating is different in college, is what he's trying to say, I think, right? Was dating a loose term? It's fine. We could talk about that later. Yeah. Anyway, Rosie, you're going to be very excited because you're going to help us go through our headline check here. We read some headlines, and then you can let us know if they're hot or not. We'll chit-chat a little bit about it. And then we're going to get into some divisional round previews. So let's get into the headline check with our first one here. Reigning Super Bowl champ Tom Brady posted a reel with Meek Mill's dreams and nightmares of him catching the ball thrown out of bounds by the Eagles. Petty or not? I mean, hot or not?
Ooh, hot. Definitely hot. I mean, it's not like Tom Brady's in the control room, like, editing the tape. He sends it in off his phone. He sends it to his social team. I'm not sure they even, like, okay that with him. But I appreciate that because that was a painful night for all Patriots fans and especially Brady.
This tells me that the Eagles are still in Tom Brady's head, and that's a win. I'll take that W.
I don't know about that, especially after this weekend, Colleen, but all right.
Also, it was like Brady's best Super Bowl ever, and he lost it.
Right.
So that is like
annoying. It wasn't that great.
Right. Yeah, Nick Foles, baby. Twitter started tweeting pretty quickly that the Cowboys linebacker Leighton Vander Esch's name was spelled incorrectly on his jersey. The C and S were switched around. No biggie, just the first playoff game in 3 years. Hot or not?
I'm going to say not. I mean, this is a man whose career has started so high and has kind of been on the downslope, and this feels like a kick in the pants. Like, they wouldn't do this to Micah Parsons or Leighton Vander Esch 3 years ago, but now they're doing it to Leighton Vander Esch.
As someone who's dyslexic. I feel for the person that made that mistake, but also if only autocorrect, a good version of autocorrect, could follow us around all the time, that would be great. Okay, how about this one? Former quarterback for half the league, really, Ryan Fitzpatrick unleashed his bare chest, Rosie, in sub-zero wind chills to party with the fans at the Bills game. Unclear if he learned this behavior at Harvard because, you know, he went there and all.
I mean, that's hot. I mean, that's amazing that he likes football enough. I don't like football enough to do that.
I think he's probably the most fun quarterback in the entire league. Personality. Even though he's not playing right now, yeah. But he's the one that I would want to hang out with the most. He seems like the best time.
I'd go Geno Smith still.
Yeah, of course.
Geno Smith love affair. All right.
The NFL fined Bucks head coach Bruce Arians $50,000 for striking his own safety, Andrew Adams. He's appealing that fine, though.
Very not. That was weird. He said he was like trying to prevent him from doing something worse, like getting a penalty. By hitting him? What was that?
Didn't he just sort of pushed him away? Like $50,000?
It's a lot of money, but it's a slippery slope. I think when you're allowing that at all, you're allowing a lot from coaches.
My mom owes me a lot of money then. Jeez, like just like, wow. You know. I got hot pepper in my mouth for swearing.
That's your $50,000. That's your mom, and that's a different conversation, but this is a grown man.
It wasn't a great look, not at all. Sure, Rick Bisaccia, he's interviewing with the Raiders for the job he's been doing since October, and he spent the night after the playoff loss to the Chargers handwriting thank you notes to all of his players. This is so hot I could cry, hot or not.
Yeah, it's very hot. Like, hot is a very strange word, I feel like, to describe Bisaccia, who was kind of in leisure wear, too. That was my favorite part of it. Like, he was wearing almost Raiders-approved leisure wear as he wrote it. I wanted to know who took the picture. Maybe a PR guy in there helping him. But that's awesome. I do really appreciate people that write letters, which is very rare, but I do have one friend. Sometimes we send some letters. How about that?
During the Manning cast, the Mannings asked The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, what he had behind him, and he had this to say.
That's Stan. As a matter of fact, so Stan was the most complete T-Rex skull ever found by a paleontologist, a young paleontologist, and his name was Stan, so this T-Rex head was named after him. Pretty cool and badass, isn't it?
Hot or not?
Like, embracing your passions and taking it all the way is hot, but a T-Rex passion, I feel like, just personally is not. So I'm going.
But also,
not.
Too, if it's the most put together T-Rex head, like, shouldn't that be, like, in a museum? Like, I don't think The Rock should be like, oh, yeah, see this one? Like,
I was thinking about that.
Like shouldn't that be documented,
showcased?
Somewhere?
Yeah, I feel like T-Rexes are well represented at museums, though. Like, they're out there.
Yeah, but the most put, like, it is the
They're all over the place. At this point, they're overrepresented. You know,
Greg
some other dinosaurs.
So should, not impressed.
Yeah, wow.
Other dinosaurs could use a little more representation, is all I'm saying.
What about this one? The Kansas City Chiefs, they scored so many touchdowns, Arrowhead ran out of fireworks, and they alerted fans with a message of apologies on the big screen.
I'm going not again, because it's a good bit, but it's a bit like they've done this before, and they do this. It's a nice it's a nice way to trash talk. So maybe I'm convincing myself it is hot, but it's okay. Like too, it's kind of manufactured. It's like the little, it's a little much. They could buy more fireworks.
Right. They should plan for this for sure.
They plan for this to happen. They're like, if we go this high, we're gonna. I don't even necessarily believe it because they've done it before.
How sad for the Steelers, too. Like, they're losing, and then they have to see that, though.
Well, that part's hot. Okay, I'm just going hot. Yeah.
During the last wild card game of the weekend on Monday night, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals didn't exactly show up to SoFi. So when Kyler threw that pick six, Booger McFarland reacted by saying, "What in the Carson Wentz is that right there? Hot or not?"
That's hot. That's a good reaction. I think a lot of us were having that. Actually, I was having the reaction of just looking at my kids jumping up and down like the happiest people they've ever been at that moment.
Wait, why were they so happy?
They were
the Rams fan. We were there, and that was just like, that was the moment where I was like, oh yeah, this is just going to be a party for the next hour and a half.
Yeah, we were all, that was awesome. Montel Jordan did the halftime show. This is how we do it. You would have thought that I was at the biggest concert of my entire life. Like, there was a bunch of us from work there too. We had the time of our lives. Montel Jordan still can get it.
Wow, I didn't know that you were such a big Montel fan. That's awesome. Good for you.
He was a good. He was quite good live. I will say, like, he delivered.
All right, this headline's going to deliver. Andy Reid was asked if the Chiefs have the same championship hunger, and he responded with this.
Well, if you like chocolate cake and you eat a piece and then you have one dangled in front of your face, you're probably going to want to eat that too. Not much is going to stop you. So, I mean, that's how you feel about the Super Bowl. I mean, that is the chocolate cake with the ultimate frosting.
I love Andy Reid. It's definitely hot. I love any, like, he compares everything to food, which is just, I appreciate it. I love food too. Like, I make food analogies, but when Andy Reid says it, you like really believe it.
You listen.
So that the hot or not is the quote unquote fun that they're talking about. Cause I always see on when they put the Split Ends podcast promo at the bottom of, you know, the screen on NFL mm-hmm. Network. It always bothers me because it says, like, you know, Colleen Wolf and Erica Tambosi talk about all things, quote, fun around the NFL. And I'm like, why is the fun in quotes, though?
It's in quotes?
The quotes make it seem, I don't know what it is, but it bothered me. The quotes bother me.
Well, I don't know never who to bring that up to, but
that's gonna, terrible. And that needs that to up. Change. Yeah. Someone out there, take those quotes down. And also, like, what? That's the tease for it? Fun. Erica came up with a really fun segment, so we're going to preview the divisional round with it. Erica, you want to explain what's going on here?
Okay, everybody, no offense. Like, there's a lot of other podcasts around the league in general that just preview the divisional rounds, and we don't want to do that here because we're quotations fun, right? So we don't want to just look at this weekend coming up and just preview them, you know what I mean? So here's what we're going to do. Introducing the Pop Diva divisional round. Pop Diva divisional round.
So, yeah, it's just like that. It's just like that.
So we were
divisional
looking at it.
Divisional round? Diva?
Diva, right? Bengals at Titans. So Aaron and Colleen, mostly Aaron, who can defend himself here, wrote, "Since You've Been Gone" by Kelly Clarkson, because Derrick Henry is coming back. And that would be sort of what we're looking at this game. But I was saying, I don't think Kelly Clarkson is included in these top pop category.
What? Why wouldn't she be? Well, why would she not be? That seems
bizarre.
Because
I'm just thinking, if we're talking Beyonce, we're talking Mariah Carey, Genie in a Bottle, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, I don't put Kelly Clarkson on that level.
I mean, Kelly Clarkson's got bangers way hot, better than Genie in a Bottle.
Ooh.
Well, that's a hot take. That is a really hot take.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I am not, like, pop music is not my preferred genre.
I was also too old. By then I was in college. No one cared about Genie in a Bottle by when you were 21, I feel like. It was for the twins, right? It was for, like, 11
well,
years.
Well, I mean, hey, that's showing your age a little bit. That's fine. Genie in a Bottle is a banger. But let's look at Bengals Titans. So since you've been gone, Derrick Henry's coming back. He's currently ninth in rushing yards. Hasn't played since October and still holds that. Colleen, you were looking at some hip-hop songs potentially to put towards this weekend. What do you got?
All right, well, if we're talking about Derrick Henry coming back, then the song should be Running by The Far Side. And that's exactly what the Titans have been able to do without Derrick Henry in the mix, which I feel like is really, really impressive. They lost him. They still ended up the one seed. They got the bye. They got time to relax, chill out, fix themselves up a little bit before the playoffs start. And also, they lost Derrick Henry, and they really didn't change their identity at all, which was shocking to me. That was the most stunning part of it, because they were able to run the ball still with Donta Foreman and Dontrell Hilliard. And now Derrick Henry coming back, how will they use him? How much will they use him? He was asked today if he is returning this week, and a huge smile came across his face, and he was like, we'll see what happens. We'll see how this week goes. So obviously he's coming back, but the presence of him alone on the field completely helps this passing game. And I
with
think
AJ Brown, yeah.
Right, with AJ Brown. And for me, the matchup I'm looking at in this game, Greg, is obviously the running game for the Titans and how the Bengals are going to defend it, considering the Bengals just lost Larry Ogunjobi at defensive tackle. That's huge. Nobody knows yet about Trey Hendrickson, if he's going to be able to come out of that concussion protocol ahead of time. That would be huge if they don't have him to pressure Tannehill. So it's really like that D-line for the Bengals, banged up, looking at that against this Titans run game.
Yeah, Hendrickson was at practice, so that's a good sign. They need him. But I just feel like the Bengals are a little overwhelmed up front on both sides. I just want to believe in the magic of it all, though. I feel like Joe Burrow and Chase and the skill position guys could overcome almost anything, and maybe they'll just win in that they could win any game. Certainly a Titans defense that like gave up a big comeback to Davis Mills. It's not like they're totally unstoppable, right? But it feels like they're bigger, they're tougher on both sides of the ball in terms of their offensive line, in terms of their defensive line, and in terms of their coach. Like if Mike Vrabel and Zach Taylor like wind up having to fight to determine the winner after they play like multiple overtimes, like if that's the then you have to go with the Titans.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it's coming down for you.
I'm just saying I think they're smarter, they're bigger, they're stronger. Is Joe Burrow like enough to overcome all of that stuff?
So are you picking the Titans this week? You do your pick show.
I think I am, yeah. Even though I don't feel good about it.
Why don't you feel good about it?
All these games are tough.
Because it feels disloyal, because I'm rooting for the Bengals. And what's the point of picking something you're not rooting for? Because you don't know what's going to happen anyways. That's generally my philosophy. But in my heart, I do sort of believe the Titans might run up and down on them.
What about AJ Brown in this game? Because I feel like it's a mismatch for the Bengals. The Bengals, they allowed a crazy passer rating on downfield pass attempts this season. I think it's like 104.5. And then you look at obviously what Ryan Tannehill has been able to do with AJ Brown on the field. That's his bread and butter. They've been so good, 11-2 in the 13 games that AJ Brown has played.
Yeah, there's nothing really that special about the Bengals defense.
Right.
It's just there. It's just kind of like slowing you down. It's kind of stopping. Julio Jones actually looked pretty good in week 18. I thought when he went out there that was significant, that they really tried to get him the ball, and it was like, okay, maybe Julio Jones, who's been a bust for the most part this year, like will matter when it matters most. Do I need to come up with a song?
Do you have one?
If you've got one.
6'7" by Lil Wayne. That's his post-prison song. And that kind of feels like this Titans team. They're that team that our friend Daniel Jeremiah talks about. It's like they look good coming off a bus. You know, they're just big, strong team. That's true. They've been in the playoffs 3 straight years. Like they are kind of like the Bills to me in that, like, they've been building to this moment. I think they're a little more ready for it maybe than the Bengals will be.
With Derrick Henry and everything, I feel like it's going to be a blowout.
Erica, I think you're wrong that Kelly Clarkson's not considered a diva, but if you needed a different diva, I'm going to give you 2 Miley Cyrus songs.
Okay.
So the biggest story for the Bengals this week has been Zach Taylor was in the local bars and he was celebrating. So the Bengals get Party in the USA, whereas the Titans get Derrick Henry, AJ Brown. They have like these hulking.
You're going to say wrecking ball.
Yeah, I'm going to say wrecking ball. Okay. So those are your other diva options if you don't like Kelly Clarkson, but you should like Kelly Clarkson.
That's pretty good.
I love Kelly Clarkson. My cousin wrote her song Stronger and got a Grammy for writing that, for that song. That song is a banger.
But
that
you
song
didn't plays, get a Grammy for it.
I have never gotten a Grammy.
You didn't point out that my song didn't make sense as a choice because it's not a diva song.
Well, mine aren't.
Right. Well, Colleen wants to throw in some rap too. You know, you famously love rap, so we're gonna let that slide.
Zach Taylor, wasn't he at Miami with Ryan Tannehill at some point?
That's a good call. Yeah, they were on Hard Knocks together.
Yeah, I was trying to remember.
He got into
paths.
NFL coaching with almost no experience because he was Mike Sherman's son-in-law.
Oh, wow.
And that was the coach of the Dolphins. So
look at him now.
Little background.
How about
look
that?
Him now.
Started from
look
the bottom.
Now
he's here. Let's go to the Niners and the Packers. So I was thinking, this isn't really a pop song, but you could do Nothing Compares to You by the great Sinead O'Connor with Aaron Rodgers and his quest for his next MVP. Also, you could do Born to Run for the Niners and their run game. Springsteen, come on.
I mean, these aren't divas either. So
yeah, they're
Colleen's,
not. Yeah. They're not.
Okay.
So if you want to go diva, let's go Beyonce, Irreplaceable. I'll have another you in a minute. Is that Rodgers talking to the MVP trophy? You know, he's going to have another one.
He will. That's the thing. We already know. Yeah. It annoys me about the MVP.
Right. Because
you can see the votes for the All-Pro, and he beat Brady 34-16. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, but what if he gets knocked out and then Brady goes on another?
The votes already happened. It's the same people. It's the same vote. The only way you could be misled is if Jonathan Taylor or Cooper Kupp won it over him, which in theory, I guess, would be possible. But there's no way that Brady's going to be over him.
Yeah, gotcha. It's already basically written. Also, gotcha. Producer Aaron has this one. Rodgers was drafted in 05, same year as Pussycat Dolls. Don't the 49ers wish their quarterback was hot like Rodgers? That's hilariously bad. And you know what? Not a bad call. Maybe the Niners will be watching Aaron Rodgers in this game with some regrets. We bring it up every year or every time that they play. So I don't know why this time would be any different.
I found this stat, which actually blew my mind. And it said that Garoppolo will face Aaron Rodgers for the fourth time in his career and the second time in the playoffs. Garoppolo has won two of their three prior matchups and has also done so with a higher passer ratings than Rodgers. Jimmy G, higher passer rating 2 out of 3 times than Rodgers. Like, I think this 49ers might be the worst possible matchup for these Packers.
It's not a good matchup, but is that partially because they've been able to run the ball so well and Jimmy G hasn't had to throw a lot?
Maybe. Sure. I mean, he's in the best situation possible, but that's true again. It's like, I think the reason for those numbers is he didn't have to play the 49ers defense. But again, I think that's kind of true, that the 49ers defense is peaking right now, getting after quarterbacks. And the Packers defense was sneaky bad for the last 2 months of the season. I don't know what to make of the last 2 months of the season.
If
just because the Packers, the whole point of their season was to get to this point. And there is absolutely a possibility they'll just be better. They should be better overall. But the 49ers have been better the last month or so. Like, they've just survived two playoff games, and other than Jimmy G, who, by the way, you know, kind of doesn't work for that song, the Pussycat Doll song, because he is hotter than Rodgers. I mean, that's not like a
I think so too
a question.
Just like Jimmy on a human G, being level,
objectively,
right? I mean, right. It's just like a fact. I don't think anyone is arguing that.
Packers defense, though, are they getting Zadarius Smith and Jair Alexander back?
Sounds like they'll have a Alexander. I don't know about Zadarius Smith, but you're right. They're going to be healthier, and they have players, but for the most part, they kind of are a team that you can run against.
Right, that's true. So that'll help if they get at least one of those guys back, because those are probably their two best defenders on the entire team. Zadarius Smith, he's been out since week one. He's still technically on IR. I don't think they have activated him. But Jair Alexander, he injured his shoulder week three against San Francisco. So it would be kind of a nice story for him to return and have a good game against San Francisco, since that was the game that he was knocked out. But I feel like Rodgers and the Niners, they just have, it's like ghosts. When these two teams match up, they played three times in the playoffs. Rodgers has never won. It's just like, Rodgers has a better run game and a better defense, I guess, now. But they have been a little suspect. If they get those guys back, that'll only help. And then the Niners' run game, it's so good. They have this strong pass rush, but Nick Bosa with the concussion.
Did not practice today.
He's going to come back. And then what about Fred Warner?
Fred Warner and Jimmy G did practice today. Did participate.
All right.
But who knows as far as that. Who are you guys picking in this
game?
And
that's like a short week too, which is a little annoying. I always kind of fall in love with one wild card team that wins and then just overrates them, because you kind of forget about the team that was just on a bye week. And this is probably my game for that. Like, the Packers are the biggest favorites of the weekend. They're 6-point favorites. And I love 49ers plus 6. I haven't made a decision on who I'm picking to win.
But either way, I
love them to cover. I like them.
So you're going to go the Niners on a short week after back-to-back really physical games.
I think it's like a coin flip game. So give me the 6 points. I'm not sure if I'm going to pick them to win straight up, but either way, I think I like them plus 6 better than any of the other lines all week.
Bucks. Erica, you're the hook person here. Explain the song.
Okay, so Ariana Grande, a very, very big pop diva, probably way higher than Kelly Clarkson. She has a song called Seven Rings. So Brady has 7 Super Bowl rings already. Can he get his 8th? You know, meanwhile, the Rams haven't picked in the first round in the last 7 years, but are still chasing that Super Bowl ring with McVay. He won it. He got it.
Like it? See, I would have went... I feel like Gangstar is a pretty big pop star. He has star in his name. So I would go protect your neck because Brady's offensive line is now down some guys and the Rams pass rush is coming through. The lack of depth on the offensive line and the fact that they're all pro. Tristan Wirfs, he's been so good this season. He hadn't missed a single snap in the regular season or the postseason over the past 2 years. He's been so reliable, so durable. He's in a walking boot this week, a game time decision. Bruce Arians said he has a chance to play. It's going to come down to the wire. That to me feels like he's not going to play. And then in the game against the Eagles, Josh Wells replaced Wirfs, but he was playing with a significant quad injury. So Arians is obviously concerned about the depth at tackle because they almost had to put in their right guard, Alex Kappa, at tackle and then Aaron Stinney at guard. They had Ryan Jensen, their center, sprained his ankle. So all of this is no bueno considering that Von Miller has been so good, 5 sacks in the last 6 games. But really, Aaron Donald, that's going to be the main thing going up against Brady.
Yeah, they're going to miss Wirfs. He's an all-pro, assuming he doesn't play. It sounds like it was a high ankle sprain, which is maybe something you could try to play with and it might not go well. But like Brady makes up for so much. Like you can, it's crazy that them not having Godwin and Antonio Brown to me doesn't feel like that huge of a factor as long as the offensive line is good. And now, you know, you're missing one piece. You can live without maybe one guy on your offensive line, but it's tough. I think it's going to be a defensive game. Both of these defenses have looked awesome for all the things they've lost in Tampa offensively. Their defense is healthier right now than it's been all year. Levante David being back last week. Devin White
was
like
huge.
Devin White, I think David being there kind of unlocks him. And just generally, you hear it from NFL defensive players too. It's like it's a long regular season, and if there's a side of the ball that can kind of crank it up for a playoff run, it's a bunch of like veteran defensive players, and that's exactly what happened with the Bucs last year. I mean, that's why they won the Super Bowl, was that defense, and they're basically all back and they're all healthy for the first time all year. So that, if I'm Matthew Stafford, would worry.
Brady is such a narrative guy too. You know, he does the social videos. He has even if he's not editing them, Greg, like you said, but he's sitting there being like, you know, I did the Lions wild card video and then we lost, like it's not about that, and he's like looking at camera, like he's doing all of this kind of stuff. So there was all that talk. Tom Brady's never won a game in California or LA specifically. Then they come to SoFi and the Rams beat them in SoFi. So it's always like Tom Brady, every talking head was like, it's LA, he can't win a game in LA. I think that this game, now that it's the Rams, has like, he has that circled on the calendar. And I think he's going to be like, everyone says like we couldn't beat the Rams, they already beat us. I feel like knowing him, you know, just what he is and stands for, I feel like this game to him has more meaning than just a divisional round game.
I'm going to put on my Patrick Claibon hat and say, wait, so you think he's going to try harder now?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know. I think he's been trying his hardest the whole time.
Of course, but the way that he is such a competitor, I bet he like has pictures printed out with people's faces on them with tweets that are like, Tom Brady sucks. Like, I feel like he is that
guy. You think he's printing them out?
I don't remember any of this, like, he hasn't won in California thing. I feel like that was a huge narrative that whole week. I do think it has some meaning, not a ton, but some meaning that the Rams have beat him twice in as a member of the Buccaneers. Especially that the Rams offense, both Jared Goff was okay in that game last year, but certainly Stafford this year like matched up well against this Bucs defense, that they didn't have a ton of problems. I think that like matters. That was one of the reasons I was like very confident in that Rams Cardinals game. I know the Cardinals won earlier this year, but McVay had beat him like 5 straight times, and there are like schematic and personnel reasons for that. And I think they've shown in these two Bucks games that like they're not particularly afraid or overwhelmed by whatever the Bucks are doing.
How do you think though this Rams offense matches up with the Bucks defense, because they've been pretty run heavy like recently, just trying to I think mask some of the issues that Stafford has had. And obviously this Bucks defense is really good against the run. I feel like you can't really take anything away from the game against the Eagles. Like, what can you really learn? But before that game, there were a couple games they ended the season back-to-back games giving up over 100 rushing yards. I think it was four of their last six games of the season the Bucks defense gave up over 100 rushing yards. So they were getting exposed in some spots, but with Stafford and the mistakes that he was making before they kind of made the run game a little bit more of a focus, I'm just wondering how this will play out, because Stafford only threw what, like 17 times against the Cardinals?
I think it plays out like a defensive game. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to feel confident in whichever team I pick here. I'm leaning Rams just because Ellis. Same.
You're
going
to pick
I'm leaning Rams just because Ellis watches game day view every Friday, and like she gets upset if I don't pick the Rams. Mm-hmm. And she's like, that's my daughter who is a Rams fan. And she's reminded me of when I'm wrong, when I pick against them and they win, she just makes fun of me. And so that's more like what I'm concerned about than, you know, because I have no idea who's actually going to win.
Greg feeling the heat from critics in his household. I love it. Let's go to Bills Chiefs, the evening game. What's the hook here, Erica?
Hook here, no scrubs, TLC, because this game has a lot of offense.
I like that.
Yeah. That could work. I'm going to go with Bring the Noise by Public Enemy, since it's at Arrowhead. Also, we could do Mass Appeal by Gangstar, another Gangstar banger.
You can't bring Gangstar up twice.
Okay, right. So then fine. I'll go Public Enemy.
You're really like zeroing in on a certain kind of old person's rap that I also enjoy.
You're both aging yourselves.
Okay, so I have like my favorite playlist on Spotify is just all of those like late 90s, early 2000s, I guess, rap songs. And that was the playlist I went through for this exercise. So that makes a lot of sense. However, when I look at this game, Bills Chiefs, they obviously played each other earlier this season. It feels like it was so long ago that happened. And there's a lot of things that are different about both teams at this point. Kansas City didn't even have Chris Jones on the field in that game. And they were toying with the notion of, they sort of played him a little bit outside, but now they brought him back inside, and that works way better for that defense. Also, Willie Gay, they didn't have. Shavarius Ward, they didn't have. And then on the Bills side, Devin Singletary, he's really emerged. The Bills did not have a run game at all in that first matchup. And then you kind of also have to consider the fact that the Bills don't have Tre'Davious White in the secondary. But it feels like two different teams almost at this point.
Right. That was also the Daniel Sorensen game more than any other games. There was a few of them, but that was the one where Josh Allen just hit a couple big plays on Sorensen, and they were targeting him throughout the game. And now they've put Sorensen to the side. They are very different, but I think it was important for the Bills to win that game, to feel as confident as possible going into this. They've played him a bunch. I don't think Josh Allen can play as well as he did, but one thing they did do, especially in the first drive of that game, I remember, was call design runs for Josh Allen, and Josh Allen ran the ball decisively when they're in man coverage, which is what they're almost always in, and he can kill you that way. And I feel like that's the biggest difference between the Bills now offensively and maybe the first 12 games of the year. So around halftime of that Bucks game, Allen was just like, I'm going full Cam Newton, except I'm in even a little bit better of a thrower than Cam Newton was back in 2015. And he's just been running a ton, and he's the best running quarterback in the league. I mean, him and Lamar Jackson are, and that makes him, if he's like playing like he's done against the Patriots, like almost unstoppable. But Mahomes is playing his best of the season too, which is a huge difference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, they beat them pretty. We were in London for that game, Greg. So it was like we were waking up and it was still in overtime in the following morning. But they beat them 38 to 20. And that's the largest margin of defeat in a home game for Mahomes' full career. So I think, like you said, like Josh Allen kind of riding this confidence boost, especially coming off of this past wildcard weekend. Like, I really think that the Bills are going to win this game.
Wow, feeling very confident.
I do too, but I'm worried that everyone thinks that. But, you know, sometimes everyone's right. Everyone thought the 49ers were going to win that game last week, and it made me go to the other side just because I'm a pain in the butt. And, you know, I should have just gone with everyone. Maybe everyone's right about the Bills.
Maybe. It's tough with the Bills. I don't think that they're going to be able to put together an effort like they had last week against the Patriots. That was just absurd. No punts, no field goals, no turnovers. They scored on every possession. Yeah, it was a perfect,
it was hilarious,
a perfect game. But sure, there have been moments where the Bills did not look like that this season. They lost to the Jags and they lost to the Steelers too.
Right.
So it's a great confidence boost coming off of that game, for sure. I'm wondering, on the other side, with Kansas City in this run game, if they'll be...
About chocolate cake.
If they'll be able to... Yes, the chocolate cake. If they'll be able to run the ball. And it's always a thing with Andy Reid, whether or not he's going to run the ball. People are always wanting him to run the ball more and more. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Darrell Williams, Jerick McKinnon, Derek Gore, like whoever they decide to go with in that game, I'm just wondering if they'll have success, because I feel like in this game, like, the run game is going to be really important. And also, both offenses can come back if they're down. Like, it's not like they're built in such a way that if they fall behind, they don't have the firepower to come back.
Yeah, I agree. I think McKinnon too could be a big factor. He looked incredible last week. They're built to run. Like, they spent their whole offseason trying to fix their offensive line, and they did it. Like, it's great, mm-hmm. especially run blocking. And they did run the ball pretty well against the Bills the first time around. And if you're gonna beat this Bills defense, they're probably more vulnerable that way than they are just throwing. It always bothers me to pick against Mahomes. It seems foolish. I don't know. I'm wavering.
Just to call back to our news items from earlier.
Oh, what is it?
Hot or not. I'm hoping this is not the case, but Katy Perry has a song called Firework. I'm hoping this game features very few fireworks as a Bills fan. But, you know, last year in the playoffs, we had quite a few Travis Kelce receptions that really hurt us. So that's what I'm most concerned with.
Well, how about just like metaphorical fireworks?
Yeah,
because
from the other
there will
side.
Be, this feels like it'll be 54-51 or something like that. That's what we deserve as football fans.
After this past
after
weekend.
After all the blowouts, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Greg, which underdogs are you taking?
I think I'm leaning all of them. Except,
all of them?
Except the Titans. That's what I'm leaning, yeah.
Ooh.
Titans are... Oh, you're picking the Titans, right.
Yeah, Titans are 3.5-point favorites. I think I'm going with the other underdogs. But
yeah. God, these games are so good. They all feel like they could be championship games. They all... It's so weird the way that it that came out. I mean, there were so many duds wild card weekend. So
just getting rid of the riffraff.
Exactly. So now it's amazing football from here on out. One last thing, though, before you go. It's a very important question. It is our split end of the week.
Ooh. When those drums come in, it can only mean one thing. It's time for the split end of the week. Hit me with the saxophone.
All right, Rosie. Baker Mayfield, he's having surgery on his torn labrum, and it just begs the question now, have we seen the last of Baker Mayfield in commercials? Is that it?
Oh, commercials. I thought you were going to say Cleveland. No.
Well, are they correlated?
I don't think so.
Is Progressive going to stay
no,
with him?
No, I think he's too good at it. I think like his play is up and down, but his commercial performance has only risen. And I think the ad executives, like, he could be mediocre and still be cashing them checks, I think, the rest of his career.
So maybe he should pick that lane. Who knows what could happen? Sky's the limit. Commercials, like a pitch
you
man.
You think Progressive
needs
is going to, like, get rid of him? I don't think
so. Yeah, if he's cut or if he's, like, all of a sudden a backup.
Well, he's not going to be a backup. He'll either be their starter or be someone else's
starter. I think
starter.
They're kind of pot committed with Baker. That's
right.
Sort
you
of
could do a
thing.
Whole bit of him like having to move towns and get some different insurance.
some house insurance. Yeah, mover's insurance. I'm sure that.
Rosie, you should go into marketing.
I'm just saying they're not getting rid of that. We're talking about it. Like, what insurance ads do you ever talk about? He can stay right in the middle of the NFL quarterback hierarchy, I feel like, and still get paid.
I don't know. Insurance, like, is kind of crushes. Geico's commercials are amazing. State I love Farm. Flo. She's funny. The new one with her sister that's out, that's her. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Mayhem,
insurance probably has the best commercials out there right now. Big insurance getting it done, just like Greg Rosenthal right here on the Split Ends podcast. And you can see him all over NFL Network. He's on NFL Now. He's on the ATN podcast. He's on the ATN show. What else are you doing?
Game Day View on Fridays and Sunday mornings. How about that, too?
Game Day View. Get it, everybody. Greg Rosenthal, thank you very much. We'll see you and talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye, Greg.
There he goes, Greg Rosenthal. And now it's time for us to go, Erica. So there's only one last thing to say. Ready? Let's split.
Later, everybody.